Hey, thanks so much for listening to the Ridge Community Church podcast. My name is John. I'm one of the pastors on staff at the Ridge, and our vision is to bring the hope of Jesus into every home. So as a piece of that, our goal each week is to bring you something that's hopeful and helpful. So subscribe to this podcast to make sure you don't miss any hopeful and helpful conversations. Hey, everyone, and thanks for listening to this episode of the Ridge podcast. If you find today's episode hopeful and helpful, then please follow or subscribe and then rate and review so that more people can find the conversation. This episode is going to be a little bit different from our usual episodes. While filming for a video that we plan to use during our main services, our communications director, Mariah, just had an amazing interview with Dustin. And he shared about his experience growing up, loving Christmas, serving, and then wanting to get involved. And we ended up only being able to use a small portion of that conversation for that video. But there was so much good stuff that we wanted to be able to share. So we thought, well, why don't we share the whole conversation in this episode of the podcast? So this episode is Mariah's conversation with Dustin.
Awesome. All right. Thanks for being here. So the reason that we wanted to interview you is to kind of just learn more about your natural gift of joy. Can you talk about, so you explained yourself to me as Clark Griswold. Have you always loved Christmas? Is that something from childhood, or why do you personally love Christmas so much?
I would say kind of growing up, my parents got split at a young age, age two. And on my mom's side, I have three siblings. And on my dad's side, I was the only child. But like on my dad's side, my dad was always all out Christmas. That was like his thing, made sure there was always Christmas lights, Christmas trees, everything like that. My mom, same thing. It was just always have everything. And then kind of then when started getting siblings, seeing growing up with presents, because I'm the oldest. So there's a 7-year, 9-year, and 10-year gap between me and my siblings. I'm the oldest. So I got to see, you know, just like at a younger age, the joy of kids opening presents. I mean, I loved it. Don't get me wrong. Everybody loves presents. So it's just one thing I always just loved was Christmas is my holiday. And it's funny, we even joked around, my wife and I said, like, no matter how bad times are, we're always going out for Christmas. If we had to cancel anything else, Christmas will never be something we'd be short on.
So before you had kids and before you were married, Christmas was still a thing, right? Like, you still loved Christmas. Has you wanting to continue to spread Christmas joy, like, increased now that you have a daughter? Yeah, that I get a daughter?
Yes, my Christmas joy has definitely increased having a little one, because I just want her to have the same experiences I have. I mean, just coming home, seeing, now especially it gets dark earlier, at 5 o'clock you get home from daycare, school, or work, you see the house. So it just kind of, when you pull up, it's instant joy. And then the house, I try to do little things where we have a little Christmas village where every year kind of she'll help mom pick out a village for me, but just kind of keep it going. Just, I don't know, it's, I think when you get that happy atmosphere, it just kind of keeps like going.
I would love to have you speak on your faith journey, right? So you said you grew up Catholic. Can you kind of speak on the difference now being in a community church, what that shift has been?
So my faith journey started off where growing up Catholic, very strict Catholic household, a lot of good things you learn from it as far as morals, it kind of really connects you, but you kind of learn more of the history. Just as when you're a kid, you're kind of just going through the motions. Growing up, then I went to a Christian university as well. So it just kind of always stayed, involved, but I never, it was a chore or like a job. Like, all right, Sunday, I got to go to church, kind of get over with, now I can start my day. It wasn't really, I want to go to church. It was like, I just got to get credits. It's almost like a class. I got to get enough good credits so then I can go to heaven. That's kind of how I felt it was. And kind of really after college, it's not that I lost faith. I was just, kind of 22, living on my own. And it's like, I'll pass on church. And then you pass again. And then you just kind of stop going. When I was kind of late 20s, I was married and got divorced. Probably one of my darkest times in my life. And I would say I tried using like prayer again to say like, okay, praying every night, because you feel like you're alone in a hole. So I guess that kind of brought faith back to me. But then after kind of praying, like, okay, it was just more like, how do I get through the day? How do I get through this? Kind of using that, started going to church again. But even then, I didn't really have a true church. So I didn't feel anything. So I kind of would just pray at home. And then after some time passed, I kind of got through my mental state I was in, a very negative one. So things, obviously, my life got a lot better. And then I met my wife, Hillary. And she obviously, I think my best sales pitch I've ever done, me being in sales, was convincing her to go on a date with me. And then I think my even better sales pitch was convincing her to go on a second date with me. That, I don't know, it's just something like kind of her, like our first, I always joke around our first date, probably kill me for going all details, but like we literally talked for almost 6 hours, just talked. Like two people sitting on bar stool talking. And that's when you could just, I don't know, we talked about literally about everything, whether it be, you know, do you want kids? Do you want faith? I know it's a lot of hard stuff for a first date, but we just like instantly connected. Then after kind of got together, we had the religious talk. She also kind of grew up in a Christian household similar to mine. And we both made comments like, hey, should we start going to church together? Neither one of us really had a church that we wanted because I wasn't passionate about one. She wasn't passionate about one. So it's kind of led to something we were kind of thinking about.
From talking to you, it's super clear that you are relational. You are naturally a happy person. When you were talking about a darker moment in your life when you were going through your divorce, pulling from your natural gifts was something that probably came natural to you, but you did mention that you went to prayer, and then you also talked about how much you valued that you had that foundation before. Can you kind of talk on why you turned to prayer? What was there any temptation to not turn to prayer?
Kind of growing up, when I would get, you know, as a kid, get scared or something, I would just pray and then I would feel better. So that kind of had that like background ingrained in my head. Now, taking a 10-year gap and then kind of following, even though I was with my wife, like we kind of, during the COVID time, we stopped. We didn't really, like I said, we didn't go to church. So even though we both were religious and talked about it, there's still the first year of our relationship, year and a half, where we weren't part of a church. Then we found the Ridge. And as we started going here, really following practice. So I think one of the cool things is now, I mean, something bad, or not something horrible is gonna happen, but something's gonna happen in life. It's not gonna be perfect. But now we had that foundation. So finding God too, when you're happy, is also a good thing. Like I bless everybody's hearts when, you know, they hit rock bottom, they find that to get the way out. That is amazing. But I think now, even especially with Hillary and Parker, if something bad were to happen, we had that foundation where, oh, we could rely on prayer right away instead of kind of falling down and down and down and then hitting rock bottom. So I think this kind of helps us have that foundation prevent that.
That's so cool. I would love to hear about how you found the Ridge. I know when you, you know, COVID and your daughter and just kind of your path to getting here. I know there was an invite from your neighbor and from Mike Mabry, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you wanted to talk on that and then we'll go from there.
So that is a funny story. My wife and I, we moved into Berlin in March, right in the heart of COVID. So as things started kind of clearing up, we both said we wanted to go to church. We didn't know which one we wanted to go to, keep our current religion or try something else. So we got a couple invites. We found another church in Pewaukee that we went to, really good church, but we kind of wanted something almost more in the community, just where we live. So my neighbors and I, we get along great. We all have kids the same age. We're roughly the same age. And we were down at my neighbor Joe's house and just watching football and crushing Miller Lights. It's kind of what we do. So I was sitting there talking and it was him and his brother-in-law, Mike. And I was like, hey guys, you know, somehow we got on the subject of church. Keep in mind, unfortunately they're Bears fans and our neighbors are Vikings fans. So, but when they brought this up about, hey, we actually had to go to this church called The Ridge. I'm like, oh, okay, how is it? And then my neighbor Joel's like, bro, it's modern church. It's a lot of fun. It's a modern church. So I'm like, oh, okay. So the next morning, because I got home probably a little later than normal that night, next morning I kind of told my wife, I'm like, hey, we're going to try church today. And she's like, oh, okay, which one? And then I mentioned the Ridge. And she's like, yeah, I heard Caitlin kind of talking about that at one get-togethers. So it was just us two, and we took Parker, our little one here, and we actually sat and watched the whole service. Definitely just kind of connected with Mark's speech and it, when he was preaching and everything, and we really enjoyed it. And we're like, oh, this is pretty nice. So we want to come back again. So the second time we came back, that's when we found Ridge Kids. Because the first time we were listening, but we had a two-year-old that didn't really want to sit there and cooperate the whole time. So then we took advantage of Ridge Kids. After the first couple times Ridge Kids, you know, going through, getting her used to it, she started loving it. And then it kind of even went further where this is, I don't know, like 2 months ago. It was just a night where we had a party the night before. And my wife and I kind of woke up, and I was just woke up a little late. I think it was like 8:30. I'm like, okay, well, church in a half hour. I had no desire to go to church. It was just one of those, like, watching TV. And then my little one, Parker, goes, well, Dad, I really want to go to church today. So I'm like, I can't say no now. So I rushed, changed, got ready, and then we got in a little later, around 9 o'clock, so we were kind of doing the battle-ness. But it just kind of shows you where getting those morals to her 3-year-old, now it says every Sunday she knows I want to go to church. There's no, it's just kind of the added where you're not going to take time off, so, which is a good thing.
It was super impactful for us that we witnessed at the Ridge was the joy that you brought to Winter Wonderfest. You know, why did you choose to serve at Winter Wonderfest last year?
Just kind of talking with friends and family, hearing how fun it was in the past. And one of the biggest things was I'm obsessed with Christmas. I'm Clark Griswold. A lot of people will go by our house. Our house stands out in the neighborhood. And just kind of, we keep hearing about serving with the Ridge. And it was kind of one of those, we kept saying, my wife and I, oh, it'd be a good idea. But instead of keep saying, oh, it'd be a good idea, actually do it. So kind of started off with, we had a sitter and our plan was to do it for 2 hours from 8 to 10. So after 2.5 hours, it was just a lot of fun seeing how things went, hopping around. And then I had to take her home just because we only had to sit for so long. And then after having a coffee, just because I needed one, I decided to go back and then finish the whole day out. But
so you had the Buddy the Elf costume on when you first came?
Yes, I had the costume on. Actually, I bought it as almost a joke. We had a Christmas party the weekend after. So I decided, it's like, hey, I'm going to go as Buddy the Elf. This is some friends and neighbors over. And then when we kind of came to this, I figured, hey, why don't I just wear it to this event? So that's kind of how it happened.
So then, can you kind of explain what it was like when you first walked in? And what changed your mind about, okay, I'm going to stay longer than 2 hours? Like, you saw the kids and the families. What was that turning point for you where you're like, okay, I need to keep this joy going throughout the whole event?
And it was mainly just seeing the kids' faces. So when I kind of first came out there, I was touring them around and just seeing how happy they were, and then people yelling, hey, buddy! And then I would go around and work with the other kids, and then just hear another kid around, hey, buddy! Probably gave about 100 hugs in the first hour, and I'm a hugging person, so I absolutely loved it. So it just kind of instantly, I was like, I have to stay. This is just a lot of fun.
So you're a dad. When you saw all these kids and your ability to make them happy, was it anything, did your dad heart kind of shift that a little bit for you, where you're like, okay, these kids don't have anything, but they have this day right now where I can bring some joy to their life?
Yeah, so being a dad, I think definitely changes the way I looked at everything. Seeing the kids just that didn't have everything. I mean, I was blessed. I never grew up in any kind of situation where I didn't have a full Christmas. So I was lucky, blessed with amazing parents to always have that. And just, like I said, seeing all the kids and how happy they were, I am always one of those people where in the neighborhood, I'm the one that plays with all the kids at events and parties. So like when we're watching a football game or a football party, I'll take a break and run around with all the kids. So, and I mean, it's a good time. And I just, I don't know, just something, seeing kids happy is just something that you can kind of give, you know, back in a way.
So Kelly shared with me that after you guys served, you and your wife served at the event, that you guys actually signed up to be on the planning committee. Can you kind of speak into when you and your wife decided to do that, why you decided to do that?
Really after the event, so my wife and I are kind of polar opposites with that kind of stuff, because obviously you can't have two buddy the elves in one household. That's just too much energy. My wife is the operational. She's the one that keeps our family, everything on tack and everything like that. So she found a way, is like, how can we improve to make it more efficient just so we can kind of really focus the experience? And then, so then we decided, we reached out to Kelly and said, hey, how can we, you know, we have some ideas to make this, you know, improve it from the previous year. Because everything the team did was amazing. And then it just kind of led to us doing this. We have great ideas that I can't wait for everybody to see that's coming up, that's going to happen. And then I'm kind of more of just tell me what to do, and then I'll just do it times 110%. So that's kind of how we came aboard.
How is the experience with giving up your time and serving others been just as impactful or more than just giving up your money?
I think giving your time really kind of helps, like in your path, just kind of showing you, you know, when you hear everybody preach about the stories, it's all about time. It's not always financial. It's all about time and doing something impactful. So everybody that gives financially to church, that's amazing, because obviously you need that to go. But giving your time is kind of like, we all are crazy schedules. We all work, especially when you have families, you have events. Life is just hectic. But giving your time to me means more, if financially, just because it's literally you kind of doing something. Even kind of through this, my best friend that lives in Tampa has a similar church that he goes to. And after I started doing this, I challenged him to do this. So he's kind of now starting to do the same thing. Because I always joked around with him. He's also a business person. He's like, you know, I get to search. I'm like, have you ever gave time? He's like, no, I'm busy. I'm like, okay, well, this one I'm doing. So it's kind of like a challenge. So now they actually started getting more involved on their time with their committees. But it's just kind of, I don't want to say it's putting your money where your mouth is, but it's just you really showing your time, just really showing that you care, and you're taking those footsteps.
Did you serve prior to Winter Wonderfest? So in your past, whether it was through church or through your job, was serving kind of a part of your faith journey?
Was serving part of my faith journey? Something actually I never served before. I'd done stuff like through work projects where we do Habitat for Humanity and stuff like that, but never something there I was paid or told to do. This is like just kind of free. So this is the first time I ever did this, and it just kind of became a thing.
Now that you're serving and it's something that is tugging at your heartstrings, right? You're like, okay, this is something that I want to do. It's with the church as well. Has that enhanced your faith or your relationship with God?
One of the biggest things I would say is it makes you feel kind of more connected. Just because, I mean, we definitely like to go every Sunday, but kind of serving is just kind of, you see everything firsthand. And I kind of go back to Winter Wonderfest, why I like to stay here is that you see the kids smile, you see the families, like almost the emotional, like after the event, just sitting there, just kind of thinking like, wow, seeing like parents cry, saying like, oh my God, you haven't, what you did for our kids is amazing. I actually had a bowl in New Berlin, and one of the families actually was at the bowling alley, and as I was bowling, came up to me and said, hey, you're a buddy. I'm like, yes. They're like, well, we just want to let you know what you did for our kid. Everything was amazing. This is our second year doing it at the Ridge. And I was like, awesome. And I didn't, but it's kind of one of those where he's in a bowling league with me, but I never knew their situation, just because not everybody is open about it, and they don't have to be. So it's just kind of, again, serving, you kind of get that more, like, I don't know, in your heart, you feel it more.
You had mentioned earlier when we were talking about how you encouraged your friend in Tampa to start serving. What prompted you to do that? Like, what was it that you're like, okay, you're my friend, like, you've got to try this. What prompted that?
So if anybody knows my friend and I, he and I were kind of college buddies that we were known to party a lot. We weren't really known for the intellectual deep conversation type. And we were just kind of talking as we started getting more involved in the Ridge. And we were just literally talking on the phone. And I said, yeah, I actually stopped going into a Catholic church and I found this other church I really like. And then coincidentally, he's like, so did I. So we both grew up in very strong Catholic households. And then without even talking to each other, we both found different churches, but we kind of were telling each other about it and it both kind of resonated. He came here when he comes to visit, comes to the service here, loves it as well. And just one of the things, it's just kind of like growing. If I'm feeling this happiness from it, I kind of wanted him to do the same. They actually just had their first kid about a month ago, and my wife and I are the godparents for. So it's something that we're just very thankful for. But it's just, I don't know, I just, like kind of going earlier, the feeling you get for serving is just different than donating. It's just, I don't know, you just feel it on another level. And that's why I just kind of wanted him to feel the same thing.
That's so cool. And it's weird, like when you have your friends and stuff, anytime I've gotten like an inkling, like, hey, you should call your friend or something. There's something in their life that's either going wrong or something where we're connecting with that, you know? So it's cool that you connected with your friend over that. It's like, he's your one kind of, you know?
It's funny. Cause I mean, when you think about, we were talking to last year about coming to Christmas Eve early, and we were both joking on each other. It's like, I'm like, wait, you got there early too? And he's like, yeah, can you believe it that we're going to Christmas Eve early because we want to be the first ones there? Before we would drag and pull our feet, like, oh, I don't want to go to midnight mass, or I don't want to do this. We're actually excited trying to get there early. So we were both kind of, it's just something kind of cool.
I love that story. It's so awesome. All right, so I would really love, to learn more about how your relationship with Mike, is it Caitlin?
Uh-huh.
I would love to learn more about how that relationship has transformed since, you know, their invite and encouragement of you coming here. Because I know that you already have an established relationship with his brother-in-law, but just kind of, can you kind of share on how that has changed a little bit with you guys kind of bonding over coming to church here?
My relationship with Mike and Caitlin has also grown within the church. We knew, like I said, met them through Joe, his brother-in-law, who's a good friend of ours, and Nikki. And just kind of going to the Ridge, it's one of those where they actually became our friends as well, not like through a friend of a friend. There's actually some nights where even we were having some beers and then kind of talking about like some things. Hey, what are you doing for the Ridge? What do you do this? And just kind of bouncing ideas off each other too. Oh, hey, what about you thought about like, you know, doing something like this, or how do you serve, you know, more? And just kind of sharing stories. And it's just kind of, it's cool. It's another friend group too, that our family, you know, is part of our family too now, just getting close with. So it's nice that our neighborhood is such a family, like our close neighbors, and then it's kind of more of an extension as well.
Do you think that going beyond talking sports and talking day to day and actually having a group of families, or even in your case, a group of men, that you guys can share this, this faith community together? Do you think that that's deepened your relationship with them beyond, you know, hey, the Bears suck, duh. Has that kind of changed anything for you?
Yeah, I think having these deep conversations too, just on the male side of thing. Mark made a comment over a year ago and he said the statistics were 91% of households where the man goes to church, the whole family does. And when he made it, I forgot the stat for women, though, it was substantially less. So, I mean, it's nice too for, obviously, us guys get together, we're going to talk about sports and stuff like that. But when you kind of talk about other things, it keeps that relationship more. You're more, it kind of gets you more that, like I said, family feel when you actually talk about, you know, whether it be faith or things going on, instead of just, hey, man, how's, you know, the Packers are better than the Bears. But it's just, you kind of get more of a deeper connection. I think that's how you grow your relationships. You're not just the fun time party person, but you can actually have in-depth conversations. And then if, you know, either one of you needed something, you could lean on each other, because you're not just having like I said, generic conversations. You're actually having stuff with meaning.
Love that. So when you, can you kind of speak more on, so when you heard Mark talk about those statistics, can you kind of speak more on what that personally said to you as a man, B, a husband and a father? How did that move inside of you when you heard him talk about that?
You kind of take that as husband, father, as this is kind of the right thing to do. And again, you're kind of trying to set the groundwork for my daughter. So she sees like, okay, we're going to church all the time. Even if like we're tired, we don't feel like it, we still want to go to church because we do feel good and you get something out of it. Just kind of, I guess the biggest thing is lean by example. In everything my wife and I do, it's together. So there's not one person that's going to do something. That's why when we serve, we said we're both going to do it together. There's not going to be just one of us. So even if I'm traveling for work or gone on the weekend, I'll watch on the phone, but then she'll still come. Or vice versa, she's gone, I'll still come with Parker. So it's like just kind of, we just kind of set the priority where this is just what you do.
You had mentioned when you were talking about like your friend circle and your community and your neighborhood, on top of prayer, do you think that how you and Hillary have built community, do you think that's also a great foundation for supporting you guys if and when hard times happen?
Yeah, I think having the foundation that we have in creating our, just when I say our neighborhood, friends and family, but just your close by group, really, it's going to help us when things go wrong. And I think our close friends could say the same thing for us, where if they need something, they can reach out to us. Just getting the core people around you is just, it's so key. I know it's funny, you'd always hear like teachers and everybody say, be careful who you hang out with. How it actually does kind of carry weight, because if you kind of put yourself all around the right people, you know, stuff comes up, but then you're gonna have everybody help lift you up, which just makes it so much easier because you're not alone.
So how big of a group of friends are coming to serve Winter Wonderfest this year?
So we're going to see how good of a recruiter I am, but right now I'm trying to get anywhere from, my goal was 10 minimum friends. I might have some side bets because obviously sports. So saying, hey, if you win this, I'll do this for you. But if I win, you have to come to Winter Wonderfest. Yeah, that's happened. My goal, like I said, is 10. And I don't like not hitting my goals. So that's, I think we should be pretty close to there. I joke around and say that, but when you serve, again, I was supposed to be here for 2 hours, my wife and I. And I ended up coming the whole day just because it connected instantly. And we have our core friends. We also have a lot of friends that really, they believe in it. Like when I say it, sorry, they believe in God, but they keep saying, hey, I'll go to church. And we keep sending invites. I'll go to church. They don't. And another really close friend of mine, so I know if I show him to serve, it clicks. I don't know. It's just something hard to say, but you just get that feeling. And then that kind of leads to obviously, getting that path. And it's not like you're trying to force someone to go to church, but you just want someone to experience that, hey, you have an outlet and just there is great, like a greater purpose.
Sometimes people are like, oh, I don't want to go to church. Or like you're saying, they feel weird, but it's like, you know what? There's no message. You don't have to take communion. Why don't you just come and help a bunch of kids?
Mm-hmm. That's why I just really feel by serving Winter Wonderfest, especially if that's your initiation to church, you're helping kids and obviously Christmas spirit. But you get to, you're getting that good feeling. So I think if you come and serve, even if that's your first experience, then you're like, oh, why don't I check out what church is on Sunday? If they put all this together, because obviously my wife and I were helping the team. This is not just, you walk in, it's not just snap your fingers, it's done. It's a lot of work that goes into it. So that's why, to me, the focus for, there's really a couple couples that I want to start coming more that I extended invites to. I think if they come serve, it'll kind of be the open the door.
I guess, what would you say, and you have said this in so many words too, but if there's somebody that is watching this right now and they kind of are like, I don't know if I can, what impact can I make? You know, what can I do? What can I possibly do to like help others? Or I don't know if I want to take my Saturday to serve. What would you say to encourage them like to do it?
I would say for people that are watching this that wondering, hey, what kind of impact could I make? Just kind of serving, even doing something as simple as the Winterfest, you just get such a good joy out of it. I mean, I went from crushing beers, talking sports, to an invite to the Ridge, to now Buddy the Elf. Like, that just kind of gradually happened, all because I said, hey, I'm going to try serving once. And it's just, we have fun when we come. Like I said, all the holidays, Easter, Christmas, just coming, we want to get here early, so we want to enjoy everything. So I just say it's something that I would definitely recommend, just trying. Because even after a couple hours, you'll say, hey, this is not for me. Awesome. But you at least, you just saw probably 50 to 100 kids smile. I don't care if you want to go to church or not, seeing a kid smile, that's right there going to be worth everything.
Well, that was Mariah's conversation with Dustin, and I just love the firsthand experience of how powerful invites can be. You know, they can shift the faith stories of an entire family, bringing the hope of Jesus to them. And then that leads that person to encouraging the faith of others as well. So if you're hearing this, you know, you still want to get involved with Winter Wonderfest, check out the show notes. But also, consider who you want to invite to join you for Christmas Eve services this year. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ridge Podcast. Make sure to follow and subscribe so that you don't miss any hopeful and helpful conversations.